listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 127. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the stiff and sore and tired for not the right reasons.
No.
John Brownstone. This week, the entire episode is all about DOMs, and specifically DOM drop and aftercare.
You mean when a sub drops their DOM?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean when a dominant goes through the same low after the high of some really right. good stuff.
Like the same, the top's equivalent to sub drop.
Yes. Yeah. That's, yes. Mm-hmm. I know. You know all about it.
Yes, I do.
I'm going to do a show now. Okay. Okay, thanks. If this is your first time listening, yes, it's like this all the time. And we're glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education. And show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, or on Instagram at that handle I hate, lovingds and the number one, lovingds1. All links are in the show notes. So it's been a while, but I actually have a couple of announcements, little announcements.
Okay.
Right. There are things I think if people can hear this episode, they've already figured out, but I'm still going to say it because it makes me very happy. You make me very concerned. So we have some koozies that were part of our mail package this week that we're going to talk about, and he has put them on like their mittens. I'd rather you like go get a beer or something and put them in that. Goodness. Okay, so brief announcements. The website is stable.
Yes.
And so is the
art. Has been for what, a week and a half?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I've been very, as of this recording, I know. And we're recording in daylight. I feel like that should be an announcement too. So yeah.
Bright light.
I know, right? The sun. Oh God, it burns. So no, the website is stable again and the RSS feed is stable, which means that we should be coming through podcast apps like normal.
Right.
So that's, I've got my fingers crossed on that. The community side of things is down. If you, from an old episode or an old page, come across the join the community link and you're like, yes, I will join, and it does not let you do anything, I know. I actually need to make that page go away or fix it and mm-hmm. make it do something else right now. The community is our next task. That was the thing that was making everything crash. Yes. And so we're going to rebuild the community and we're going to structure it in a slightly different way. So correct. If it does go down again and everything doesn't go down with it.
Right. It just takes itself with it.
Right. People who are, if you were a member before all this happened, your information is still stored, your correct. Login and your ID and stuff. If you're a paid member, you are still a paid member. We're just sending everything to you that you could have accessed before mm-hmm. directly to you by email. If you are a paid member and you're thinking, what email? First, check your spam. And then if you don't see anything in spam from us, reach out so I can make sure I've got the right email address for you. Because mm-hmm. you are entitled to everything that you've been paying for if you were a paid member before and still correct. Are. So we are doing all that. So yes, and I think it should be pointed out, I don't know what we sounded like in episode 126, but I'm sure the word is exhausted.
Yeah.
And we don't sound like that this time. Which is a lovely change of pace.
Yes, it is.
Because I really was at my wit's end when we recorded 126.
You were.
Now, what's funny is the websites themselves were fine, but we were still having little weird issues. And I was just on the verge of tears most of the time. And I asked Dom Signs, I said, what do I do? What do I need to do? And he told me who to talk to at our new hosting company. And the dude hooked me up and everything's moving, I think, faster than it was before, quite frankly. So that has been wonderful, and that's made it so that I could kind of jump back into all my blogging and getting our podcast episodes out like normal and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. now I'm ready to focus on fixing and getting the community correct. Back up. Because, see, technically this episode's coming out right before the start of May, and we should have a Kinky Book Club book to read.
Yeah.
But there's no community to go chat about it. And I thought about doing Twitter chats, except that Twitter already gets all my attention and sucks up all my time. I figured a Twitter chat was probably not a good idea.
No.
But, oh, that's another thing. And I'm not going to say their name because I'm not sure what their screen name is and I don't want to give away their anonymity. We did get a volunteer who, once the community's back up, will help run the Kinky Book Club
yes.
and get questions going and get discussions mm-hmm. going and I think she's going to be great. And I'm very grateful to her. And I would say her name, like I said, but I can't remember her screen name. And I remember her real name. And I'm not saying that out loud because she might not want that said out loud. So, yes, as soon as we get the community back up, we will go back to doing all kinds of stuff we were doing before. So that was the thing I kind of wanted to just say. We might maybe talk about it more in the bonus section, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
I don't really have anything to bitch about right now. Mm-hmm.
Unless we do an Instagram next week.
Yeah, right. And that's another thing. If you are on Instagram, we didn't do one this week on this past Monday, which was April 23rd. But we have gotten into kind of a habit of doing Instagram Lives Monday evenings.
Right.
And the one we did mid-April, we actually pulled out our toy bag and showed off our toys.
Yes.
And we're kind of tempted to just sort of turn on the Instagram Live and let people ask us questions. And we'll just answer them. Because that seems like fun.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're on Instagram, feel free to follow us there. LovingDS and then the number one. So it's LovingDS1, and I hate that fucking handle. Okay.
Okay.
So I want to give, not that we don't say thank you to this person all the time, but this time it's about the topic for this week. So we have a list of topics, but we look at topics and we go, I don't really want to talk about that this week. So we put it out on Twitter and said, hey, specific to dominance, because we talk about submission a lot, which is a good thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. We were looking for things people might want to hear about or topic suggestions that were specific to big D's. Correct. And we got several. I have a list that we need to mesh with our other list and plan things out. But Dom Signs, our good friend, my hero, one day I will kiss him. If he stops laughing every time I threaten it, he laughs.
So do I.
Hey, you know Molly doesn't laugh anyway. The savior of our websites, that Dom Signs, he tweeted back at us and said, "What about Dom Drop and aftercare and the fact that it exists and it is a thing?" And when I saw it, I went, "Wait, that seems familiar," and it is a little familiar. Episode 39, we talked about drop in general. We talked about both sub and dom drop. And we
touched on it a little bit.
I know how it is. When we say, oh, we're going to talk about something that affects both sides of the slash, we end up talking about the submissive side. you can blame me for that. So while some of this might be a repeat of episode 39, I will point out this is episode 127, so 90 episodes ago. there's nothing wrong with repeating it. There's certainly nothing wrong with talking specifically about Dom Drop, especially since there is a very incorrect thought out there that there's a few. There's one, some people think that Doms don't drop. Which is silly, right?
Yes.
Or they think that if a dom goes through dom drop, sometimes called top drop, you might hear that, that there's something wrong with them. They're not really a dominant, right? Which I find that amazing that when a sub goes through it, nobody walks around going, oh, they can't clearly be a submissive.
I know, right?
It's ridiculous. And that just like submissives, for some, not all, dominants, the right kind of aftercare, the right kind being defined as whatever the right kind is for you, the right kind of aftercare can help not necessarily prevent drop, although that it can do that, but it can minimize the
Absolutely.
Drop. So we should probably start with that, because we've defined it in the past, we'll define it again. Let's define what drop is. And as the dominant, you talk about it from your perspective first.
Okay. Well, I will say that for me, when drum drop, yeah. You sure you want me to talk?
What are we talking about this week? Can you say that? I'm not even sure you could say it again.
Girl,
yes, Daddy.
There is a corner with your name on it.
But we have to do a show, Daddy.
Yeah, well, anyway, drum drop for me doesn't happen very often. And from it, you know, also again for me, it never happens directly after a scene.
Mm.
And I'm going to define something here, because for me, when I say after a scene, that can be hours after, because especially when we scene at the club, okay, when I'm done beating your ass, that's not the end for me.
Sure, you're still working.
I'm still working. I'm doing aftercare for you. A lot of times we do stay at the club and socialize for a little bit. and I'm still riding on that high, and then I got to get you home.
Right. Now, let's talk first before you can drop in your experience. So in the subspace drop world, drop usually follows going into subspace, which isn't necessarily
true. Not always necessarily true.
For you and your experience, the times you've experienced Dom drop, did it follow after a time when you had gone to Dom or top space, depending on how you want to call it?
Most of the time, yes, but not always. Okay. There was one instance, and this was actually the worst. I was a weekend long scene, basically. Prior to you.
Oh, okay. I was giving him a confused look that y'all could not see. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, no, prior to you. And, it wasn't really, anything super intense. But it was just a lot going on over the course of a weekend. And when we went our separate ways, I bottomed out. Big, bad, and hard.
So when you go into drop, and I'm sure it's, if it's like sub drop, I'm sure it's slightly different every time. What are the things that tend to happen to you?
Well, at that time, it was like somebody had pulled the plug on me.
Just all your energy was gone?
All of my energy was gone. And I think this is why a lot of people, you know, or it's not a lot of, but some people say that Dom drop doesn't exist because, you know, dominants are not supposed to be emotional.
Right, there's awful myth that they're they're very steely, their emotions are tightly controlled, they don't ever show them. Whatever. Yeah.
And I was an emotional wreck. Okay. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun, but I was just emotionally spent.
Well, and that makes sense. And I can even see it. That makes sense to me, knowing what I know about my own experience with drop on the little S side, because on the little S side, I'm flying high and that high has to come down.
Right.
And I could see where, if for you, because you've defined your Dom space before as a hyper focus. Like everything else fades away. That all you see is the thing you're doing with the person you're doing it with. So that makes sense to me that if, whether it's a day, an hour, a weekend, however long, you've got that intense focus on your partner, and this is your sole responsibility, and you're in this moment, and you're experiencing this moment.
Right.
And then that ends. That makes total sense to me when you describe, like, the plug being pulled for you.
Right. I mean, whether you're, you know, whether it's a few hours or a day or a couple days, you know, you are riding high.
Right. Your high is just different from my high. That's all. And I think that's where it gets confused for some people, because subs get to talk about subspace all the time.
It's different.
And nobody talks about dom space.
It's different, but at the same time, chemically, it's pretty close to the same thing.
It is.
You've got, what is it? Hang on one second. I saved.
Well, there's the endorphins. There's oxytocin. Adrenaline.
And adrenaline. You know, so those things are just like, you know, flowing through your body.
Right. I read some, I think it was on a psychology website. Oh, I might have to go see if I can find it again, where they talked about the biochemical response to people who are practicing BDSM primarily, but that people use that as like the catch-all. And the way they were describing it was dominance and submission. And although the chemical response is the same, the way some of us process it might be different.
Is different.
And I would imagine that is true from person to person, regardless of your role. But it makes sense to me that your experience with Dom space makes sense to me because of the responsibility that you have. And having watched other Doms kind of play in a club, when they say I didn't notice anything but the person in front of me, I didn't notice anything, I barely even noticed the music, or sometimes they really notice the music. So that focus that you get, that makes sense, because you are not only are you doing a physical thing, whatever it may be, to your partner, you are also responsible for that partner. You are in control of the situation. So if if my subspace is me floating away on a chemical high and not caring about anything because I've given up total control, then it makes sense to me that your space is a hyper, I keep saying hyper-focused, but I know there's a better word. It's not coming to me. But it's that intensity of the moment of all you see, the tunnel vision you get, and your whole existence is this moment with your partner. That makes sense to me.
And I was very surprised, you know, because here again, too, that's something, you know, you, especially if you don't talk to a lot of people or have a lot of friends in the lifestyle, I didn't know what all that was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when you talk to somebody, like, oh yeah, that happens to me too. It's the same thing. It's a very common thing.
It is, and it is,
and yet it's not talked about.
It's the dirty little secret of DS, is what it is.
Pretty much,
and I'll link to this in the show notes. One of the most popular posts on your personal blog
is
SouthernServiceplace.com.
One I wrote years ago
about Dom Drop. Exactly, because it's happening to people,
right?
But there are these sad tropes and stereotypes about what it means to, quote, be a dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And those bad stereotypes, those perpetuate these myths, do not leave any room for a very human reaction to a very intense moment.
Right.
And that's what's wrong with it. So you get your, and you've even said, you don't always go into top space and you can still have the drop. It's the same for subs. Yeah. So if it let me talk to my little S's out there. I want you to lean close, press the earbud a little bit more firmly in your ear. Just listen to me. If it happens to you, it can happen in some way to your dom.
Right.
It is not always just unique to, ooh, I'm a submissive. It's a human thing.
Right.
The reaction might be different. The way it's processed might be different. But it happens. It happens to either side.
Like I said earlier, chemically, you know, you've got a rush of the same type of chemicals running through your body like a sub does.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that is heightening your senses. It is doing a lot of, it's giving you energy, you know, that, and when those levels, after being so high, return to normal.
Right. It feels like a low.
It's going to feel like a low. It's a shock to your system.
And let's take it to another level. Sometimes you don't go into dom or top space and you still get the low. Why? Because there are other things going on. Think about long distance relationships, right? Yeah. The only times, knock on wood, that I've ever gotten dropped myself as a submissive were when we were in a long distance relationship. We'd have this week or weekend or whatever of really intense emotions and experiences and all kinds of kinky fuckery. And then you were gone. And even though not once in that whole time my eye have gone into space, I had the drop. And I had the drop because it was an emotional high that I had been on, and I was missing you, and it was hard to not have you there. Mm-hmm. Those things contribute to drop. That is no different for a dominant. That happens to both of us.
And that happened that at that time it happened the most to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when we were long distance, because we would have a week together, and granted, not every week was a kink fest.
Sure,
fuel driven,
a very family oriented thing.
But you know, we get in that mindset, and then it's pulled away,
And it's difficult.
And it's difficult.
And I think we do a disservice to dominance, whether we, meaning submissives, or we as a kink community, when we do not recognize that dominance and tops go through, not every time, maybe not in the same way, but can go through their own version of that low. And those those negative emotions or those bad feelings. Now, I'm curious because, again, when we talk about drop out in the world, it tends to focus on subs.
Mm-hmm.
So I know from a submissive perspective that my drop can be emotional and mental. It can be physical. I've literally thought I was getting the flu. Or it can be a combination.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, is that, have you had the different types of it, or is it kind of one way for you?
It's more of an emotional, mental thing for me. Not so much physical. I mean, these days my physical day to day outweighs
everything else. We're of an age where every day we're like, God, oh God, I don't feel good whatsoever. Well, and we
For me, it's more of a mental thing. It's emotional. The one thing I do have to say, physically, I feel physically tired. I can honestly say when we have been at the club the next day, I really don't feel like doing much of anything other than just kind of...
I know, it's so funny because I don't get, thankfully, I don't usually get dropped myself anymore. So when we go to the club the next day, I want to sleep in because we were out late. But I'm like, let's go, let's do a thing. I am full of energy. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I just need to sleep. Could you just leave me alone? I'm really tired.
But just to show you the difference, a case in point, most of the times when we come home from the club after scening, I pour you into bed.
Oh yeah, I'm not even conscious.
Right, you're pretty much zoned out. You know, you've had your aftercare, you've had something to eat and drink, and we come home. I pour you into bed, and you are usually out like a light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, me, I'm still wound up.
Sure, you've got all of that still coursing through you. That
and
makes
sense. I'm sitting there staring at the ceiling. Okay, all right. What do I do? What do I do?
Maybe we should make a to-do list for you. And then you like
fuck
you...
that.
I'm just trying to be productive. I will file that idea away is not a good one. Okay.
No, exactly. That needs to get
So with drop, when you do experience it, you had said it's not something that happens immediately after a scene. So
no.
When for you does it usually kick in?
For me, usually the next day.
Mm. How long does it last?
Depends.
Okay, so the best one and the worst one.
The worst one I had lasted several days.
Mm. Did you kind of wonder what the hell was wrong with you?
Yes,
were you going
at that
crazy?
Time, yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought like, you know, what the fuck?
You have dropped a few F-bombs today. Are you okay?
I'm awake.
Yeah, clearly.
It's not 10:35 when we have to
at night
when we have to have this up at midnight.
Oh,
so
that's
see what a difference it makes.
You're dropping F bombs like your name's Kayla Lords.
Yeah. I had a good teacher. But it lasted a couple days. Sometimes less, just, you know, kind of like a passing little thing or maybe a day. The one time, it was several days and it was hard.
You know, I from personal experience and then from talking to other people, something about that very first time of drop, the very first time you go through it, especially if you're either not prepared for it or you're not completely sure what the hell's going on, it does seem like it lasts the longest of most times. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've personally had drop that lasted probably a week,
right.
But that very first time, it's a bigger crash, I think.
Yeah.
Probably because you've never gone that high before.
We've probably never gone that high before. And, you know, what's the saying? Forewarned is forearmed.
Armed. Forewarned is armed,
You know, if you kind of have an idea of what could happen, you know, it's a little bit better. At that time, I had no friggin' clue.
Sure. And no resources or support.
No resources or support. It didn't exist.
So one of the things that we have, I think was in Domtine's original tweet, but certainly you and I have talked about since then when we said we would do this, is about aftercare. So a whole scene, you've said many times, including just a few minutes ago, isn't just the things you do to me, it's the aftercare you give me.
It's the aftercare. Because if someone wants to correct it and say not, I this is how I look at it. After the scene, I have to give you aftercare, take care of you.
Right.
So, you know, and a lot of times when we play hard like that, we're not at home. So then we have to get you home, get you food. So it's like I'm still...
Right. So then my question for you is, I firmly believe that DOMs can and should have aftercare if it's good for them, helpful for them, something that they want. It is also perfectly legit to go, no, I'm good. Just like it's legit for subs to do that. But what kind of aftercare have you experienced? I can talk about what I know I've done on purpose. And two, when is it a good time to try and give it to you? Because you are working up till the end. And a sub that has been like, had this intense experience is not usually up for for doing much. So,
well, like in my case, I would say probably the next day. Mm. All right. But, you know, something beforehand, which is just as important for the big D's as it is for the little S's. You know, we always talk about how, you know, we need to give you guys water or Gatorade or something to drink, you know, to hydrate. Same chemical processes are happening. You need to hydrate your body.
Right. You need to have some, you need to eat something. You know, if you're hungry, you need to have something. Some water. Right.
One of my favorite snacks after a scene is cheese.
I know it's so funny. After a scene, I want water always. Mm-hmm. And then I want something sweet. And that is what I want. I want something sweet. And you are constantly trying to feed me some damn cheese. I'm like, and it's really sweet. If you were observing it, you'd go, oh, that is so romantic. Look at him feeding her cheese and crackers. And what you can't see is me kind of like my head blown away. Or me thinking, nobody can see this or hear this. I'm thinking, I really don't fucking want cheese right now. Just eat the cheese.
The ultimate aftercare for you would be
a frappe from McDonald's. Which I can't have anymore. I know. But that's okay.
I can't think. A York.
Oh, your peppermint patty. God, yes. That would be awesome. Yes.
But, you know, it's funny. They very rarely have sweets at the clubs.
I know. And when they did, because like at every club we've ever gone to, it was members who were coming for the night who would bring something.
Bring a platter of food or something. Right. Yeah.
And it's always finger foods and little stuff. It's not like a meal or anything. Mm-hmm. It's meant to keep you kind of going or in the social area. You know, people socialize over food. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, somebody would bring a sweet. And it was always a sweet thing I couldn't eat. Yeah. And so it was always like, oh, but I guess we just have to go and get me something from McDonald's at 2 a.m.
I hate that. I'm heading for the cheese. I give me the cheese.
Now, I'm speaking as the person who...
And water.
And water.
Or Gatorade.
I know. And then you want a coffee.
Yes.
I know. So I'm going to speak as the person who has tried to give you aftercare once I realized that dominant aftercare was a thing. Mm-hmm. Because truly, first of all, when you're new to DS or BDSM in general, especially as a submissive, you go looking for information after you weed through all the porn and then you weed through all the trolls and the predators, the information is 95% about how to take care of yourself or how your dominant should take care of you as a submissive. Right. So I fully admit that very early on, it never occurred to me, and I feel awful for this, it never occurred to me that a dominant would need aftercare or that a dom could drop. All I knew was all this stuff going on with me. So once we sort of had these conversations and I was better informed and educated, I wanted to try and give you aftercare. Now, there are a lot of reasons a person in general, but a dom specifically, will drop. And the ones I've found about you are, yes, when we had to be apart after some time together. Right. That was a rough one.
Correct.
There's just the chemical high and coming down. This is sort of the typical one. Then there have been those times where I recognized it later. You would come to me after, not like immediately after a scene, obviously, because I'm kind of out of it, but later, and you would look for reassurance that you hadn't done something wrong. And I don't mean like, oh, something went wrong in the scene, but like, oh my God, I called you that. Oh my God, I gave you that bruise. I hit you with this thing. Right. Is that okay? So what I've always tried to do to perform a certain, I don't consider it aftercare, but if you do, then that's all that matters. I always try to offer love and reassurance that you did a good thing, that I appreciate what you've done. I say thank you. Like, thank you for beating my ass, Daddy. That was great.
Oh, you're welcome, baby girl.
But you know, I know, or I believe that won't eliminate the drop.
And that, but it won't eliminate the drop, but that's an excellent, excellent point, because another thing that can cause drop for dominance is guilt.
Right.
All right. Guilt can be extremely strong.
Especially when you're new.
Yeah, especially when you're new. But even when you're not, I mean, even at this time, there are times I still have moments of guilt.
Is it stronger for you when we do something new or for when we do something more extreme?
I think when it's when we do something, definitely something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we push boundaries.
Sure. Because that's a dangerous place to play. I mean, yes. BDSM is edgy, y'all. I know for many of us, we're like, oh, this is our normal. This is our vanilla. It really is edgy.
Yeah.
And certain levels of BDSM mm-hmm. can cause actual harm.
Yeah.
And I could see that. Because you have this responsibility to me mm-hmm. to take care of me. That's part of our agreement.
Right.
So that makes sense.
But even in beating you.
I love how you say that.
You know, I don't want to break you. That's not my intention to break you. It's supposed to feel good for you.
Right.
All right. But, you know, again, this is kind of like an unspoken little secret out there, you know, and many dominants do feel this way. There is a certain amount of guilt that can come after a scene.
And that makes total sense to me.
You know, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, look at these bruises I gave her. You know, I broke skin. You know, there's...
Or even...
Am I an abuser? And, you know...
Right, or even those... And I think... And this is definitely... neither of us is trying to be gender normative. So this, some of these things, we know they translate maybe differently for different genders.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also, because you have experienced it and I've heard other people experience it in different ways, when you're like, I was taught not to hit a woman.
Right.
Or I was taught not to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how progressive our family might be or what whether we're living in a blue area or a red area, we are all affected by cultural and societal norms.
Correct.
And there are rules, quote, end of quote, for what it means mm-hmm. to be part of the culture or part of society and what is considered normal and okay. And many of us, just by the sheer fact that we're into BDSM, are breaking those rules.
Sure.
But some are so ingrained, we don't even realize them until we're in that moment. I mean, I've sort of lurked on, you know, and watched conversations femdoms have and they, you know, will every once in a while they'll admit that this goes against what I've been taught and how I've been taught to be, and it is difficult.
Well, yeah. So none of what we're talking about is gender specific. This can apply to any.
I think that it might, and I would certainly love to hear from any femdom out there. Or anybody who's gender, you know, non-binary or transgender mm-hmm. who has maybe experienced different levels of this that we just haven't. But it might manifest itself in a different way, but mm-hmm. that guilt cannot possibly be uncommon, and it cannot possibly be gender specific. It might be a different kind of guilt. The things you're thinking might be different, mm-hmm. but the guilt or the horror that you might have hurt this person that you care about, that is just a relationship mm-hmm. fear, you know?
And when you come to me after, you know, the next day and, you know, Daddy, thank you. What you did was wonderful last night. You know, that means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, that means a lot because it lets me, because there's always that thought, did I go too far?
Right.
Did I cross a line? Did, you know?
Right. Did I hurt my partner more than I intended? Right. Were they happy with it? And I can't remember when in our relationship I kind of realized, maybe it was a conversation you and I had, maybe mm-hmm. I read something, maybe I heard something, I don't know. But it was the moment I had the thought in my head, wherever it came from, it was so right to me that it's just, it's something that all submissives should do. If I don't care if it was a scene or not, if the thing your dominant does for you on any level at any point makes you feel good, hits the right buttons, fulfills you, whatever, we've talked about showing gratitude before,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, letting them know, hey, you know that crazy thing we just did where I was hanging from a rafter and I was calling you a dirty motherfucker and I hated your fucking guts? I didn't really mean that. That was the best thing I've ever done in my whole life. Thank you. You know? But I did. And I think it was our first conversations when I finally, like I said, finally figured out and learned, and you helped me understand that you go through drop two.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing, because you said to me, I'm not sure. I don't know if this was the right thing. I feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, to me, trying to perform aftercare on you, even though it doesn't look like what many of us think is stereotypical, quote, aftercare, yeah, is that reassurance and letting you know that I had a good time and letting you know that you did good things to me and could you do more of those things to me in the future.
And falling in line with that, I think it's also, if you noticed, usually the day after we've been at the club or we've seen, I always ask you, you know, what did you think about it? What did you like? It's almost like a debrief, you know, to kind of communicate about it and talk about it.
Right. And it gives us both the opportunity to go, well, I really liked this, but I didn't really like that. Or mm-hmm. when you used this thing, that was great. But man, the next time you use that thing, could you like, you know, yeah, it's a good way to process it in general. The other thing, and I think this can, everything we do is mental, even when there's a physical aspect to it. So I think submissives are sometimes missing an opportunity to understand what they're doing for their dominant post scene in the days afterwards, because you're thinking of this as just your quote typical submission. And here's what I mean by that. If you can tell that you're dominant, you might not even know that it's dropped. Maybe you've never had this conversation, but you know that your dom is off, right? You just had some intense thing, or you had this great experience or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you finally got to be 24/7 DS because the kids are out of the house, whatever it was. And now things are back to, quote, normal, and your dom seems off. They seem low. They seem more tired than usual. They seem mm-hmm. cranky. It's going to manifest in multiple different ways. It all depends on the person and the situation and how they feel. So aftercare, to me, is not just the showing gratitude and giving you reassurance that you did a good thing and all that good stuff. It is also, I kind of go out of my way to take more care of you. So I will urge you to, why don't you take a nap? Why don't you get some sleep?
True.
Daddy, do you need me to get you to make you lunch? Even if they are things I would already do as part of my tasks, like I am on top of those things.
You just don't make me, I know that you just won't make me a cup of coffee, but you'll actually check the cup and make sure it's
right. Or I'll put little special things in it so it tastes even better or mm-hmm. whatever. And so what I'm trying to say to submissive out there who is close enough to your dominant that maybe you're in the same space while they're going through this drop, then you're already serving. Maybe you're already doing tasks they've set for you, or you're following rules they set for you, but you can always go above and beyond with those things.
Right.
You can always not wait to be reminded. You can, in the act of serving your dominant in whatever way works for y'all's dynamic, you can encourage them to rest, or, hey, do you need a blanket? Or, hey, do you want your book, your phone, your tablet? You know, you want me to turn on Netflix? What can I do for you? Because just like you go through these lows, mm-hmm. they do too. Now, let's talk two things here that are very real for some people. One, I can hear people already going, but what happens if my dom goes through drop? And we don't live together and we're long distance. What do I do? Well, it's a difficult job, but it's still possible. We went through it together before.
We went through it together before. And what we kind of did, we just talked more.
We did talk more.
We talked a lot more.
Yes.
We had set times through the day when I would call you. Mm-hmm. And we always made sure, you know, especially in those times, We made sure
we didn't miss those.
Come hell or high water, those calls are going to be made.
It might be 5 minutes instead of the hour we would normally get, but we didn't miss those times. And we checked in with each other by text or email or whatever more often through the day.
More often, yes.
And I would try to send you more sexy pictures or just little things. Like maybe it's my submissive nature, maybe it's my baby girl nature, maybe it's a combination. When I know you're not quite yourself, all I want to do is make you smile. All I want to do is like pull you out of that funk. And obviously I'm not, you know, a magician or a wizard. Yeah. I can't just pull you out like by magic, but I'm going to do little things that were within my personality to get that little bit of, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, there's, you know, something we didn't do, but you know, a lot of people do that now, is Skyping.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, so you can act physically see each other.
Exactly. And so maybe the day your Dom's going through drop isn't your normal Skype conversation time. Well, maybe you can reschedule and do something
right. special.
But the other thing that I know people are thinking is...
Now see, I just had a really cool thought about that.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I'm sitting here where I live, you're off where you live, I'm in Dom Drop, and next thing I know, there's a pizza delivery guy at the door dropping a pizza off, and...
That's totally possible!
Right.
Order your Dom dinner, or you know, yeah, have something delivered to them. There's nothing wrong with that.
If you happen to know that pizza is something that they like, or Chinese food...
Jimmy John's.
Call.
If you don't have a Jimmy John's, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I know. Call a local delivery service where they're at.
These days you don't have to do that. You just go online. You don't have to talk to no damn body.
See.
Even better.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I know people are thinking, and this is whether you live together or you're apart, but I know it because I can hear y'all. What the hell do we do if we're both in drop? Well, you just hold on tight. And eat whatever y'all's comfort foods are.
It's like a roller coaster ride. Ain't gonna lie about that. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
So the first time you and I went through drop together, because we have not done that very often. Most of my experiences with drop are when we were long distance. It's very mm-hmm. rare now. I can't even remember the last time. But what I remember when we would both sort of experience it at the same time, the first time, I don't think either of us sort of saw it for what it was, especially because we're long distance, because what happens is you assume that, oh, I'm just sad because I'm not there with you.
Right.
And it's a little bit more than that. It's not like your typical, oh, this sucks. It's deeper than that. So I don't think we recognized it at first. We just knew we were sad, but because we were already developing this strong relationship, we, as upset and down as we were as an individual, the moment I think we heard the other one down, we wanted to help pick them up.
Sure.
And so we were doing it for each other. But once we realized what that was and we could go, whoa, that was definitely different. Here's the thing. Once you can identify it, even though it might feel different every time, and that was a pain in my ass when I used to get drop on every so often. Because one time I just cried for 2 days.
Yes.
I didn't even know why I was crying. The second time I kept telling people, oh my God, I think I'm getting the flu. What the hell's wrong with me? And then like the time after that, it was all of that. It was just awful.
Yeah.
But once you recognize that happens to you, that happens to your Dom, that happens to the sub, and you're like, I can name this. I am in drop. I can name this. You are in drop.
Yeah.
Naming it is half the battle. So you're both in drop together. You're in the same house or you're not, and you've got thousands of miles between you. You can name it to each other and say, oh my God, are we both in drop? Oh God, yeah, we're in drop. Okay, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the emotions are the emotions. You're going to feel what you're going to feel until you work your way through it.
Right.
But if you both know you're in drop, then you start thinking, these are conversations to have before you go into drop, before you've seen, you know, what do you need? What makes you feel better? What causes your drop. When you know you're in drop, ask the other, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? Like for me, it was always, I'm just sad. I'm just so tired. I just don't want to go to bed. And you were like, oh my God, did I nearly kill you? Was that the worst thing I've ever done in my life? And so you could just, you know, be very comforting to me in the way that worked for me. And I could be reassuring to you.
Sure.
And so we could give each other what we needed and it didn't magically fix us. We weren't like, oh, look,
that's gone now. But the bottom line, you know, either way, but we're talking, you know, specifically about the big D's, you know, one of the things that helps, spend time with your little S.
If you can.
Well, in any way you can.
True.
You know, if you're together, spend physical time with them. And I'm not talking sexually. I'm talking.
Curl up on the couch.
Watch a movie.
Be lazy together.
Yeah, be lazy together. You know, talk. You know, if you're not together, get on that frickin' phone, you know, make a Skype call, you know, something, spend time together, talk.
For us, I mean, because I can hear you out there. Well, I can't talk all day long. You have a job, you have kids, you have this. I get it.
Well,
texting, emailing, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is why when we've talked in the past about long distance relationships, it is important that you use every method of communication that is available to you, because they, when one fails, you have other options.
Yeah.
And in the day or two. So what would happen is you would come visit and you would leave like on a Sunday and I'd have to go to work on Monday. And I'm gonna drop Monday and Tuesday. I'm like, everybody's like, oh, John was in town, wasn't he? And I'm like, yeah, it was great. And I couldn't tell him what we had done. I'm like, yeah, it's wonderful. And then when I was sad, from their perspective, they kind of got it. Oh, yeah, he went home. That must be awful. So they didn't really blink when I got not a fucking thing done at work for 2 days because I was texting and emailing constantly. It was not a productive time for me. Mm-hmm. I did learn, it took a few trips, if I recall, to start taking like that Monday off and just send the kids to school. And then
and some quiet time.
And have some quiet. And you, I think you started doing the same thing, too. When you could, you would take like that Monday off.
Right.
And then... just, and then we could talk as much as we wanted to, or, and for us, because we're like this now, we're very comfortable in each other's presence and not saying a word. And yes, it is possible. I do shut up. I promise. we would call, one of us would call the other and we would just breathe together. Like we'd talk for a few minutes and then we wouldn't have anything to say, but we were together.
Yeah. Now, you know, another thing that I like to do, you know, is sometimes sit and just, you know, in a quiet space. Give me a cup of coffee and a cigar.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Or give you some comfort food like some pasta.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or something sweet.
Mm-hmm. You know, Deez, if you have a hobby, you know.
Yeah, do it. You would get on the motorcycle.
I would get on the motorcycle sometimes and ride. Mm-hmm. You know, or go out in the shop and tinker in the shop.
And that's the thing. So the first time Dom's speaking specifically to you, but drop in general, the first time it might kick your ass because not just because the first time it's the first time, but you might not be expecting it, right?
Correct.
You're like, what the fuck has happened to me? Mm-hmm. What the hell's going on? Once you get through it, you will get through it. It can take several days, but you will get through it.
Yeah.
It's important to have, to do some introspection with yourself and to potentially, if drop happened with a partner who's a regular partner, you anticipate you will play again, you will have kinky fucker again, you're married to this person, whatever it might be. So drop could happen again. Outside of drop, outside of your kink and your scenes, when things are just calm and you're just chilling together, you need to have these conversations. And as doms, you need to think about it. You're like, and what I mean that you need to think about is you need to think about and kind of have in your mind the things that make you feel good.
Right.
Because drop is just, it's one version of a thing that's a very human experience of, I've had a really good time and now that's over and now I am sad or I am angry or I am upset in some way. I'm on an emotional low. So the things that make you feel better when you're not real happy can be some of the things that help you feel better during dom drop. So when you're not in dom drop and you're not about to go into dom drop, that is the time to start thinking about, what do I really enjoy? Like, what can be like my mental list of, and if it is eating your weight in ice cream, it's not the healthiest solution. And as long as it doesn't send you to the hospital to do it, do it. Do what makes you feel good.
Yeah, as long as you're not diabetic.
Right, I know.
Have at it and enjoy.
Please take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, or if it, yeah, if it's ignoring the whole world and going outside and doing a thing, if it is getting lost in a good book, if
for some people it could be gardening. Gardening is very therapeutic, you know.
Anything. The whole point is when you're in that low, assuming you have the energy to get out of bed, because sometimes that happens too. You cannot physically get out of the bed. It's just not happening. First of all, forgive yourself, especially as a dom who's probably telling yourself, I'm supposed to be stronger than this. This shouldn't happen to me. If your drop keeps you in bed, then that's the day, as long as you can, you stay in bed.
Now, you know, another thing to think about, not everybody that plays together is necessarily a couple.
Absolutely. And you can still go through drop.
And you can still go through drop. So, you know, you may not have a partner there to reach out to. Now, in some cases, I know some people who play together as top and bottom, even though they're not together, they still reach out to one another.
And I think that is a very good thing to do.
Yes. That is a good thing to do. But if that is not a possibility, You know, I know as Big D, you know, we do tend to be a solitary lot.
Right. Or especially when things aren't going well. Like maybe you're gregarious when things are great, but you're like, oh shit, this sucks. I'm not going to show anybody that this sucks.
You know, if you look at it, there even in the real world, there's a lot more sub meetings than there are
dom meetings. Yes.
Okay. But you know, it doesn't hurt to have a friend who's a Big D. You know,
right.
That you know, if you cannot reach out to the person you've seen with and you're going through drop, you know, if you have another dom who is a friend that you can reach out to. You know, it's somebody who can relate and understand to what you're going through.
Right, because you can talk to them and you don't have to explain what dom drop is.
Yeah.
So you're just like, I dropped.
Right.
This sucks. And maybe, again, they're not going to fix it for you, but sometimes just saying it out loud and having somebody on the other end.
Just having an ear to listen to.
Who goes, dude, yeah, that does suck. I am so sorry. Hey, what do you need? Pizza? You want to watch a movie?
Right.
Let's
go to Mugs and Jugs and watch some TV and have a beer and chicken wings.
And if you don't have, and most people don't have a Mugs and Jugs in your area, it is exactly
Hooters
as,
or, you know,
it's
whatever.
Exactly as it sounds. Mugs of beer, jugs of tits. Yes. Yes, it is that. But it's, you know, it's whatever yeah. soothes your soul. I
right.
think that's the thing for drop for anybody,
mm-hmm.
but especially for doms who are finding a hard time believing it can happen to them, don't want to admit that it's happened to them, don't think they can tell anybody. Yes, you can. And if the people around you who are kinky are not accepting of the fact that, yes, a dom can go into drop, I'm going to tell you right now, you might need some new friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it's whatever soothes your soul, especially
right.
if you are alone and it's not a partnered situation, or you checked in with your bottom or the sub that you played with and yeah, that was fine, but it's not the kind of relationship where you're chatty with one another. Then now it's time for that word that phrase that gets used a lot, even though it's important, self-care. You've got
yeah.
to take care of yourself.
Exactly.
But I think the one thing that gets lost for both sides of the slash in this, because
mm-hmm.
when you are deep in drop, like at that bottom trough of drop where it's the lowest point, you can convince yourself that there's something seriously wrong with you and this will never end and what has
right.
happened to you. And I think that's, again, understanding drop before it happens to you,
mm-hmm.
either for the first time or again, this is important. Drop that will not stay. You won't stay in drop forever.
Right.
You will stabilize and normalize, and it will
mm-hmm.
come back up again, and you will
start to feel normal
again.
As your
again.
Body chemistry starts to get back
exactly.
to where it belongs.
And sometimes what you need is, like I was saying before, if you're in drop so deep that you're like, I can't even fucking get out of bed, then as long as you won't get fired from your job for not,
yeah.
then don't get out of bed for the day. That's what your
right.
body is telling you that it needs, and if you can do that, then that's what you need to do. You don't have to go out and, you know, go work out or go
mm.
out with friends or be social if that's not good for you. If that's causing more distress, the idea of it's causing more distress than kind of perking you up, then that's not the right thing for you. Did you finish your coffee? Are you
yeah.
pouting at your coffee?
Yeah.
Your
empty
coffee cup. I'm sorry. So I think truly, 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 all the things that a dom expects, the educated and the good ones, expect for their sub when it's space and drop and aftercare, that you need to understand that it might be different for you as a dom, but it is no less legitimate. If
right.
you would take care of a sub or a bottom who's going through it, then you too are equally as deserving of it. If it can happen to a sub, it can happen
to
a dom.
Right.
So, you know, doms are not these, you know, stony figures who never smile or have genuine emotions. That's bullshit. That's
right.
That is a thing that will hurt. That doesn't just, so that kind of thinking hurts both doms and subs. So it hurts doms because when you go through the very human emotions that you will experience,
mm-hmm.
you wonder what the hell's wrong with you. Are you really a dom? Are you not a dom? But it hurts subs and it hurts relationships because the dom who thinks that they are not supposed to show emotion or have emotion or have a low moment or go through tough things is certainly a lot less of a healthy partner for the submissive you want to be with, because you can't hold yourself apart and at arm's length because you can't show emotions, you're not going to develop a healthy DS relationship if that's how you think yeah. this works. Can you relearn this? Can you do better? Can you rethink these things and train your brain to understand that your emotions are valid? Yes. Yes, you can. The other thing is that the, I'm going to use my air quotes here, the air quote dominants who think that there is no emotion for the dominant, all yeah. about the good stuff and the what you like, you are a danger to a submissive if you do not understand that you are a fully functioning human being here, hopefully, mm-hmm. and that you have the good and the bad, and that if it can happen to a sub, it can happen to you.
Right.
And if those air quote doms think that being dominant is only the being in charge and in control, and they don't care about the emotional side, theirs or their subs, mm-hmm. that's a problem
yeah.
waiting to happen.
But, you know, not everybody experiences dom drop.
That's true. You don't even experience it every time.
No.
And I'm glad you said that, because if you don't go through drop, that doesn't make you less of a dom either.
Right.
It doesn't. It doesn't mean you're not getting a real, quote unquote, real dom mm-hmm. or DS experience. It doesn't mean that you're not a real, quote unquote, dom. It means you haven't gone through drop. Maybe you never will. Maybe yeah. you'll be doing this for years before it happens to you.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, we go through, I would imagine it's been so long since we played in a really intense way.
I
would not be surprised if the next time we do play in a really intense way, that if we don't drop.
Right.
Because it will be so
fresh to us. Right.
But yeah, once we were living together and we didn't have to be apart ever again,
mm-hmm.
I never went through drop after those typical kinds of scenes.
No.
I don't even, the only real drop, the few times I get to go into, I've gone into subspace in the past couple years, I've experienced personally a little bit of drop, but it's been very mild in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay over there?
Yeah.
Y'all can't see it, but he put the koozies back on his hands like mittens. So I think let's bottom line this.
Yeah.
Drop is real.
It happens.
It's natural.
It is natural.
Aftercare for doms is a thing.
Yes, it is.
Even if it doesn't look like aftercare for subs.
Well, like anything else, you know, we did give some suggestions for dom care.
Dom care. I like that because it's not, to me, in our experience with it, it is yeah. not traditional aftercare.
Yeah.
Because of how I am mm-hmm. when we play.
But again, just like aftercare for each sub is unique to an individual, it's the same thing with
right.
doms. Everybody is different. They may have different needs for aftercare, if any at all.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, it's considered sort of a fact that every single sub needs aftercare, which is not always true.
Right.
Some subs, they'll give themselves aftercare. Could you leave them the hell alone? Thank mm-hmm. you very much. Same is true for doms.
Yeah.
It just should never be assumed that because somebody is a dom that they don't yeah. need anything after the play is mm-hmm. over. And then, of course, there's also that there might not be a way to completely, you know, avoid drop. But the best method to handle it better whenever it does happen is to talk about it long before it happens.
Communication.
Communication before it happens, communication when it's happening.
And the one thing that goes a long way in all this is reassurance from your partner.
Absolutely.
Reassurance from your sub that knowing that they love you.
Or they care about you.
That they care about
that
you.
That you didn't
harm them. Knowing that you didn't harm them. Knowing that you didn't cross a line. And that what you have done to them is wonderful. Those things go a long, long
yes.
way. Because, as I said earlier, guilt is a very strong emotion, and you know, it can cause a little bit of grief.
Absolutely. And so subs, you have a responsibility. I yeah. recognize that in whatever way you get kinky with your dominant, because we talk about ass beatings, but not everybody mm-hmm. does that. But whatever way you get kinky,
right,
a lot of things are done to you. You take on a lot in as part of this, and so yes, you need to be cared for and you need to be checked on. You have the potential to come to physical and mental and emotional harm. Yes. Guess what? You are an active member of this partnership, whether it's a love thing, it's a play thing. you're a part of it. You have your own responsibility here, and you have a responsibility to your big D just as much, even if it's in a different way, as they have to you. So submissives of the world, in whatever way works for your dynamic, your relationship, or how you are in your DS thing with your partner, it is your responsibility to figure out through experimentation, through asking, through just trying shit, what works for your dominant and to help take care of your dominant in that way. It helps me when I think of it in terms of submission and service to you. I'm trying to take care of you.
It's like an act of service.
Exactly. And that works for me. That might not work for everybody else. So if that doesn't work for you, then it just needs to be in your checklist in your head of, oh, we did these things. Dom did this, this, this. Okay, I need to do this, 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 and this. And one of those things is likely to check in with your dom and go, hey, are you doing well? I just want to let you know I had a great time. You did, this was great. Thank you so much. Whatever. And give them reassurance that can go a long way.
Yep.
Right. Okay. There we go. So, because we did speak very heavily about our experiences with this, and this is unique to everybody.
Right.
Would love to hear from other people about their experience with dom drop and aftercare, and what works for you, what doesn't work for you, what sends you into drop. So I did a blog post on the three sort of main reasons.
Right.
One is the typical, you went to space, you got to drop, what goes up must come down. Then we talked about the, oh my God, have I hurt my partner? And then I talked sort of about the going against societal norms that you've been taught from childhood about how whoever you are in the world, how you're supposed to relate to the world. Typically, not always, but typically in a dom role, you're going up against whatever it is you've been taught of how you're supposed to behave with a partner. And so that can cause some problems. But when we put it out, I did ask people then, and so I'm asking now, if you have a different reason for what causes you to go into drop, please please let us know. Please reach out.
Yeah.
And also, if you have specific things that work for you that you would consider aftercare or help you deal with drop, we'd love to hear that as well. But when I was asking, hey, do you, you know, anybody out there, what sends you into drop? We had somebody who replied, and they said that when they're submissive, does things that makes them wonder if they can trust them, and it's not like sort of upholding their end of the relationship side of things, that will send them into drop, because then they're left sort of wondering, oh God, can I trust this person? Did I do the right thing with the right person? And it messes with their head, as it would.
Right.
So we've spoken very heavily about our experiences with it, but we would love to hear
We'd love to hear your take on it.
So Twitter, FetLife, email, wherever we're at, reach out to us there if you're there too. So we do have a fairly short bonus section.
Yes.
So yay. So yeah, we'll let the people who were like, I'm done. Y'all already talked for an hour. I'm good. We'll let them go.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a bonus section for the crickets.
Okay. Are we good?
I guess.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
We'll see you next week. Daddy.
Yes, baby girl.
If I promise to make you a coffee again when I talk to the crickets.
Yes.
Yay! Oh, God, did y'all hear that? Well, I'm out of your special mocha stuff, but I will still make you a coffee.
Okay.
I'll hook you up. Don't worry. I will sacrifice some of my coffee. My special coffee.
Thank you, girl.
You're welcome, Daddy. I'm just trying to take care of you. Because you poor thing, you have been stiff and sore and kind of like, I've been making you exercise.
Yes.
I don't know how I, the submissive baby girl, have been making you do anything, but you keep blaming me. I'm saying it's my fault.
Well, you're not making me do anything. I'm doing it, but I'm still blaming you.
I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works. We did get mail.
Yes.
And not before this episode goes live, but hopefully in the next few days, you will actually see pictures of what we got in the mail. Because part of it was mail, because this is somebody who wanted to send us something. But also, she does pure romance. The toys and the lingerie stuff.
Yes.
And I had said on Twitter, gosh, I want to review things that aren't necessarily vibrators and dildos. I want to do BDSM gear and I want to do lingerie. And she was like, I can send you lingerie. I'm a pure romance salesperson. And so I have this gorgeous gorgeous purple.
It is pretty.
I don't know what to call it, but it's beautiful.
Confetti, maybe?
I don't know. I'm going to let her say because
okay.
I'll get it wrong. Probably if I go back in our Twitter messages, yeah. I'll look. It doesn't matter. And so I will take pictures, or I will ask a nice daddy dom I know to take pictures. And I'll do a little review of it.
Gladly.
And those will go out at some point. But within that was a card, and it's so funny. So I always feel bad when I say, we're going to do this thing. And then 3 months later, I haven't done it yet. But I keep learning that I'm not the only one, and I need to stop feeling guilty about it because she had said, I meant to send you something at New Year's, and it just didn't happen. And I kept going, it's okay. We're all busy. It's fine. And so in the package of the lingerie to test out and try out and all that good stuff was a New Year's, Happy New Year's card. And I loved it. I was like, yes, you already freaking bought it. You've paid for it. You might as well send it on because you don't want to keep it until next December or January. That would be annoying for her. I meant not for us. So very sweet. She says, thank you both for being so amazingly helpful and welcoming to this community. It has been a wonderful place to navigate so far. And then she said, enjoy a little coffee to keep you going. And yes. It was a Starbucks card.
Yes.
Which I guess means I have to share with you.
Yes, you do.
Damn it. So, and she is wonderful. She on Twitter, she's Princess H419. So you probably have seen her around if you're like, if you're active with Loving BDSM too, like if you follow us, you've probably seen us chatting. She's wonderful. I've had different conversations with her in DM, and it's been wonderful. So thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Love it. We're so happy. I can't wait to try on.
I know.
I'm a pretty purple
after
thing.
After you opened it last night, I'm very anxious to see you in it.
I know.
So I can get you out of it. No.
What's funny? Okay. I'm good with that. Here, this is what kind of innocent I am. This is how you know I do not wear these kinds of things, even though they fascinate me. So when I looked and she said, pick one out. Tell me what size you want. I'll send it to you. I, of course, went for the purple one. And she said to me, I knew that would be
right.
the one.
Well, yeah,
of course. It's purple. And yet I pull it out. And I was shocked that there was a thong to go in it. There was underwear. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, some of them do.
I just figured it'd be open.
Yeah. You used to have one.
Long time ago.
You got it when I used to come up to visit you when we were long distance.
I know. And I think if I recall on that one, the top part fit pretty well, but the thong was like massive. Like it just like felt. So I never wore it. So I guess I must have forgotten it existed.
But I like that one. That was very nice.
I vaguely remember it. Well, here's what I love about this one. So everybody who can hear my voice knows how I feel about the color purple.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever watched any of our videos, you've seen our purple bedding in our bedroom. So we had sheets on the bed that needed to be folded. Our purple sheets. We have purple sheets and we have gray sheets, dark gray sheets. The dark gray sheets are currently on the bed. The purple sheets need to be folded. We're moving things around. We had to make some videos right before we recorded this. And I had placed the lingerie, because I don't know what the hell to call it. Placed the lingerie over the sheets, and you almost could not tell they are that close in color.
Know.
I was like, oh, I knew that was my color. I knew that was my color. And then even though it was bought separately from the sheets, the top comforter
is
the same color.
So is that actually lingerie, or is it camouflage for when you get in bed?
I'm going to be a chameleon, and I'll put it on, and you won't see me in the bed at all. I'll just blend in. I'll just be a face.
That could be fun, and I can just like kind of feel my way around to find you.
Yes, that is a thing. So, anyway, Princess, thank you very
much.
I won't say your real name on the air because that's not cool. Anonymity at all. Okay, so we said earlier that he's stiff and sore and blaming me for the exercise. So we have been trying to do healthy things.
Yes.
For me, it's a whole mindset of I literally spent the past 2 years between my mental health and my physical health being miserable for two solid fucking years. And I'm over that shit. So I'm doing stuff to make myself feel better and to get healthy. So hopefully I don't go back there again.
Correct.
So it started with something really simple with walking, and it started as a challenge between me and Molly Moore, and then
correct.
The Doms got involved, and there were threats of paddles if we didn't hit our step goals, and then other people on Twitter got involved, and so now it's like a bigger thing, which is fun.
Yeah.
So several of us are tracking our steps weekly, and I have a goal right now for the month of April of 40,000 steps a week. Obviously, that's not 10,000 steps a day, which is like, I guess, the recommendation, because that would be 70,000 a week. And so some people are going to go, well, 40,000 a week, that's not that much. I was doing like 500 a day, y'all. So this is a huge leap.
Yes.
I actually, in order to get, what I like to do is get all my steps in Monday through Friday, and then I'll take like the weekend off and mm-hmm. I don't worry about it. And in order to get 10,000, for me to get 10,000 steps in a day, I have to take two walks a day, one in the morning, one at night or in the evening. And you go with me on the evening walk. And yes. Which is nice. We're together. Sometimes we're talking, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're working through problems. Sometimes we're being goofy, whatever. And then I'm in the process of changing my eating habits.
Right.
So I can't have many carbs. I physically cannot have some sort of really bad intolerance to it. But nothing has helped me lose weight. All this time, I've not been eating bread. I've not been eating like all these things. I still can't lose weight. So I'm trying for the month of April. I started it. I'm not going to stop in May, but mm-hmm. this is what I did first. I'm trying intermittent fasting.
Correct.
Which just means I go longer without eating, but I still get all my calories in when I do eat. So mm-hmm. I'm cool there. And I don't want anybody to at me about why you don't like this. I love y'all. Just don't do it. Because there are strong opinions. I'm considering the ketogenic diet.
Right.
And the reason I'm considering it is 90% of the things you have to cut out of your diet, I can't eat anyway. So it's like, oh, okay, this is not a hardship on us. But since I've been doing this, you have gotten sort of like really self-conscious.
Yes. Well, a couple things for me. Before we went to London, I hopped on a scale.
And then you hopped right the fuck back
and
off.
And I hopped right. I was afraid I was going to break the damn thing.
Stop.
No. Number of years ago, I had put on quite a bit of weight.
What was your top weight? Do you mind?
250.
See, my top weight was still higher than yours. My top weight was 262.
Yeah, I was 250 at one point. And that came about years ago. My job was very physical. Mm-hmm. Okay. I did lawn maintenance, landscaping, owned my own company for 15 years. And I was very physical. I was in very good shape. And I had to give that up due to health problems, my back. Mm. And then I ended up sitting at a desk. And I did go to the gym and work out at that point. And I maintained fairly well. But then my back got even worse, and I could not do even the workouts that I was doing to keep myself going, and I just kind of let everything go.
Yeah. My first desk job, that's when I got up to my height of 260-something, so I feel you there.
And then I went on a diet, and I lost most of that weight.
Mm-hmm.
Started feeling good. Even my back started feeling better.
Right.
And just before London, I jumped on the scale and I noticed I was getting back up there a little bit.
Well, and let's back up a little bit. When we first moved in together, we were both at fairly healthy weights. I was not at my all-time low, which is a number I'm not sure I'll ever get back to, but I would like to. I've never been skinny, y'all. I was the chubby fat kid. I was the chubby fat teenager. I was the chubby fat college student. And then I gained the freshman 30 on top of that. Yeah. And then I had babies and I gained weight on top of that. So I personally have never been ultra thin, toned or fit. I've always been chubby. But that I had gotten down to my lowest adult weight and I had kind of maintained it up and down. When we moved in together, we were both pretty much at kind of some of our healthiest weight that we had been at.
Right.
And then, you know, that honeymoon thing that people used to talk about, you move in together and just don't have to care anymore. Well,
it's real.
We gained like 25 pounds each that first year. And you blinked and farted and you had lost it. And I started struggling. And that's when I started struggling.
Actually, lost it that time. That was the summer we went on the smoothie diet.
Yes, it's when we started doing smoothies every day.
You were making me a smoothie.
For breakfast every day.
I would eat a normal lunch.
And then we'd have a smoothie
and
for
then
dinner.
We'd have a smoothie for dinner.
Yeah.
And I dropped the weight and I actually kept it off for quite a while.
Right.
It's not until just recently.
Right. And I have struggled. Gained that 25 pounds, then gained 10 more, then lost that 10, then lost 5, then gained 10. then lost 5, then gained another 10. Yeah. And I've gone back and forth. And then I had all these, in the middle of it, I had all these health issues.
So I've kind of been dabbling with the intermittent fasting this week.
Kind of, yeah. There's some, we're working on it.
Dabbling.
Yeah, and that's how I started. I actually dabbled in between London and the start of April. I kind of played with it to see if I liked it.
I mean, I'll admit, you know, when it comes to my morning coffee, I'll have, you know, 2, sometimes 3 cups of coffee and a couple spoons of sugar in each cup of coffee.
Which is how you're not intermittent fasting. But well, that's okay. That's okay. Right. You're playing with it. I'm not judging you. I'm judging you.
Girl, you did not even let me finish what I have to say. You are going to be in deep shit when we get done, when this mic goes off.
I love you, Daddy.
Yeah. You won't be saying that. You'll be calling me a bastard afterward. All right. So anyway, when I started, you know, when, because I've been hearing all about this intermittent fasting for weeks.
Watching a lot of YouTube videos.
So I kind of decided to give it a go. So I have cut back to 1 cup of coffee in the morning. And in that 1 cup of coffee is only 1 teaspoon of sugar. So, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, no, that's the thing. You're, to me, you're preparing to see if intermittent fasting
works. I'm easing into it.
Right, and I did too. I did too. I played with it, and I wasn't real strict with it for like 2 weeks. And then I went, you know what, April 1. Right. And what I did, because I knew I'd start the walking thing, and I'd start the intermittent fasting thing, I weighed myself. I ended up weighing myself on April 2nd because I forgot on April 1st. But I weighed myself at the beginning of the month, and then I have ignored the scale since then.
Right.
And I'm going to weigh on the 1st of May. And what I'm having to do is have these conversations, because for 2 years with all the stuff going on with my health, it didn't matter what I did. The only way I could lose weight was to drastically cut my calories to a point where it was unhealthy, and I wasn't willing to do that. So I have been battling these pounds that don't make me feel good, that aren't good for my health, that keep my blood pressure, like all this stuff going on. So I've had to have the mental conversation of, well, okay, if you lose, is there an amount of weight that you might lose that would make you really happy? Is there an amount of weight that you lose that would worry you? And how are you, Kayla Lords, going to handle it if that scale still doesn't budge?
Yeah.
I don't know how
I mean, for me right now, you know, working in the shop, I'm not as active as I was years ago on my feet. You know, when I was doing lawn maintenance, I mean, I was constantly moving.
And working in the Florida sun.
Working in the summer's heat, yeah. You know, I'm in the shop, I'm on my feet, but I'm not always moving, per se.
Sure.
So, you know, yeah, I've started walking with her in the evening, kind of cutting back on what I eat. And how much of it I eat.
Well, and it's funny. So I played with intermittent fasting before I started it. You're playing with it now. I'm playing with some elements of the ketogenic diet. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure what that is, it's a high fat, low carb way of eating.
Mm-hmm.
If you find it just awful, please do not at me. This is not a debate I'm willing to have, but I'm doing my research on it. I'm testing out some of the methods. That's why I'm not saying I'm going, quote, keto. I'm not doing any of that. This is still this testing method. And is this sustainable? Is this something I'm willing to do? And I don't know. But I'm sucking you in slowly but surely.
A little bit. I mean, the other thing I'm doing in the morning to kind of move my body a little bit, you know, because of the issues I do have, I've started doing Tai Chi in the morning.
And you used to do that a long time ago, too.
I used to do that a long time ago. I had kind of gotten away from it, but I'm getting back into it slowly. Right now I'm doing the first 6 movements. I've been doing that for about 2.5, almost 3 weeks now.
Oh, wow. You must do it when I... That's right. You do it when I'm taking the kids to school.
I do it when you're taking the kids to school in the morning.
Yeah, y'all should have seen him the day I came home a few minutes earlier than normal. He's like in the middle of this move and his eyes dart over to the side. Like, he didn't stop. I give him credit. He kept on going. I was
didn't
like,
break form.
I will not call attention to myself. I will walk into the other room. Because I am the type of person, when I'm doing certain types of workouts, I don't want an audience. I don't want anybody to talk to me. I want to be left the hell alone to do my thing.
But I had, you know, like I say, I'd gotten away from it for quite a few years. But I'm kind of glad I started getting back to it. I not only find it good that I'm stretching with it, but I also find it very relaxing.
And that's part of the reason I'm hoping it might be May, it might have to be June, depends on what goes on with my neck and my shoulders, because now it's not just my left shoulder, it's my right shoulder too. I want to try to do yoga at home.
Yeah.
I have a couple of things I can use for that, plus some sites that people told me about. And I love yoga. I love, it was my physical therapist who told me that I am what she calls a loosey-goosey, that I'm a naturally flexible person, and my entire worldview of myself shifted because I have been convinced my whole life that I have no flexibility and that I am incapable of bending down and touching the ground without bending my knees. But the fact that I can bend down to touch the ground in different ways and get myself back up, and some of the ways that I sit and the way I stretch my arms and all kinds of stuff that I never thought about. Apparently I'm flexible. I'm like, oh, no wonder yoga always felt so good to me, because I could eventually gain some flexibility from it. So I'm hoping to go back to that soon too, but I need to know that I won't accidentally hurt myself in the process.
Yeah, so knowing that now, next time I go, you know, once you're better and I go to tie you in a position, you can say, I can't get in that position. I don't want to hear that shit.
No. You have to let me do some stretches or some yoga or some something to, no, there are some positions. You try and put my leg there or my arm there, I will start screaming and crying because it hurts, but... Yes, I do. I do want to be more flexible than I am so that I can get into those positions. So I started this and we went like on a tangent because clearly it's something we were both thinking about very much. I said all that to say that I think I'm having an idea that I have not fully mulled over that does not have to involve John Brownstone unless he wants it to involve him. So Fit for Kink has gone through a few variations over the past couple years.
Correct.
We started as a Google Plus group, and I still get people requesting to join, but I don't do anything with it anymore. It was just one more thing I had to keep up with, and I couldn't. And then I moved it over to the community when we got that up and running.
Right.
And people would go in, and they would ask their questions or talk about stuff, and that was fine, but it wasn't really active yet. But now I've had another thought about that.
Okay.
And I think we need to blame my current YouTube addiction, because I watch a lot of videos on YouTube to get information or to just watch things that make me laugh. And I'm thinking of, on the Loving BDSM channel, starting a segment of that. So it wouldn't be me. It would be through Loving BDSM, but it would be me on camera doing a video series of Fit for Kink, where I talk about what I'm doing, what I'm learning, not to convince anybody to do intermittent fasting or convince anybody to do keto, but to sort of discuss the process and the journey, not just of a specific diet or a specific workout routine, but of the, I'm trying to get fit from a kink here. I'm trying to get fit so that I don't go through another 2 years of being miserable every single day for 2 years. And then I am healthier and then I'm fitter. And hey, if I drop some weight as a result, it is not going to hurt my feelings. But also, so then we can talk about, oh, now that I'm doing this yoga, look at this hog tie you could do on me.
Right.
Now, right? So I'm considering it, but I have not committed to anything. I'm not running out to make a video right now. It would be a very basic one. I would probably barely even edit it, you know, just something simple. But I am thinking of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm a little curious. And if anybody is still here at this point.
I know, we've been talking a long time.
The thing I would like to try and do, if anybody knows or has any thoughts, because one of the things I'd like to do, because certain things I cannot do regular push-ups anymore.
Which is so sad. You've got these big old burly shoulders and these big old burly arms. I know you would be muscularly strong enough to do it, but yeah.
But my back would give out and you'd never get me off the floor.
Right, exactly.
But I'd be curious if anybody knows of some good ab exercises that can be done.
That don't require those kind of moves?
That don't require those kind of moves for someone with a bad back.
Sure. That's been the thing that I've been doing Google searches for. I've been looking for yoga for people with bad backs. And what I end up finding are YouTube videos of people who do not interest me, and they're like an hour. And it's yoga routines, but it's not like, I don't want just a YouTube channel of videos to do. I want content to read. I want things to read so that if somebody can say, okay, here are the things you should avoid if you have lower back problems. Here are the things you should avoid if you have neck problems. Here, like those kinds of things. And then, yes, if I want to watch a video, I'll watch a video. But I want the information first. And I have not come across a good resource that wasn't trying to sell me something first. So if anybody knows of that, too, that would
because,
be good.
You know, that's something that I've known for a long time, you know, in when you have back problems, you need to have a strong core.
Right.
And yet, strengthening your core with a bad back is not an easy task.
Exactly. And there's got to be a method. We just don't know it. So, yes, if anybody knows that, I would love that, too. So,
and we should probably wrap this up.
I know. You know, part of it is we're awake.
Yeah.
It's daylight when we're recording.
Right.
We had time to do this. We don't feel rushed. And we're not bitching about our problems.
No.
So there was a lot more to talk about.
Yes.
So the asks we would have of our crickets who are listening, and I love those of you who reach out to me and you're like, I've binge listened and I'm totally a cricket. I love you. I love you. I love the people who are like, I have been listening to you since day one and I'm totally a cricket. And I can't remember who it is. I know I'll open Twitter and I'll see it. Cannot think, you know who you are, and I know who you are. You're in our Twitter DMs, but I know of at least one listener has purchased a Proud Cricket t-shirt from our Redbubble shop.
Yes, I saw that.
Fucking awesome,
I think, right?
I've got a, it's so awesome. I can't think of your Twitter handle right now, and I'm so sorry, but you know who you are. Anyway, so we love you guys. So, what we are asking, if you are still with us at this point, from us to our crickets is yes, if you would be even remotely interested in Fit for Kink as a video series. Mm-hmm. Not live streaming, just like 5 to 10 minute videos, if I'm even capable of that. We know I like to talk. And then, yes, if you know of anything that would be ab core strengthening for people with bad backs, yoga for people with bad backs, not videos I have to watch. I want a website I can read. I just want to, or a podcast I can listen to, which I doubt, but a website I can go to and get the information myself. If you know of anybody, just tweet at us a name or message us.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
We would be happy for that. So there we go. Ta-da.
Okay.
Okay. I think we're good.
Yes.
I know. And hopefully in the next few days there will be pictures of me wearing beautiful purple lingerie.
Uh-huh.
I also still have one sex toy left that I need to try.
And one I need to try.
I know. Okay. Uh-huh. So that'll be fun too. So hopefully we'll have pictures of me in pretty lingerie very soon.
All right, folks.
Purple. Okay, we're done. I could talk all day.
All right.
I know, it's terrifying, isn't it?
Thank you, everybody.
We love you guys.
We love you so much.
Bye.
Bye.